I want to begin by reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." They did talk with a twang there, just so you know. It was up some holler in Nazareth, away from Jerusalem, the big city. "To a virgin, a pure woman, engaged or betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua," Jesus, Messiah, Deliverer. "And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of El Elyon, the Most High God. And the Lord God, Yahweh, will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High, El Elyon, will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Israel, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let it be to me according to your word. What a powerful, packed message. There's so much behind this when you look behind it. And as we look at this morning, I want to encourage us to wrap our hearts around this kind of surrendered. Don't raise your hands, because I know some of us maybe are in a place where that wouldn't be true if we did raise our hands. But do you really want to see God move and souls saved and the kingdom grown here at Christ Community Church on Rocky Step Road? Do you really want to see God's kingdom come? Do you really have a hunger and a thirst after the righteousness of Jesus Christ, after having a relationship with Him? Are you hungry and desperate enough to go to the presence of God and the throne of God and beg Him to move in our lives, not so that we can get what we want, but so that God's will is done through us as He invites us into His plan, as just as He did with Mary? See, a person, number one, who surrenders to God is humble and needy. Are you open to God's Word? And as He comes to the Blessed Virgin Mary at this moment, a person who surrenders to God is humble and needy. She, of anyone, being this 12 to 14 year old girl, extremely poor, engaged, hoping to have a better life, saw the favor of God. Why? Because she was open to the Word of God. You know, as we look further into this passage, let's read the verse again in verse 27. He in verse 28, he says, "Came to her and says, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.'" Now, whenever you find that throughout the Old Testament and the Bible, Yahweh is with you, the Lord is with you, that means that was a person who walked with God and who was open to God and was open to God's Word. And I want to ask you this morning, are you open to God's Word? I mean, really? I'm not saying the confessing with your mouth, "Well, I'm a churchgoer, I'm a Christian, so I have to be open to God's Word." But are you really open to the call of God on your life? Are you really open to what God might do? Because God comes to those that are humble, not with our own agendas, not because of our education, not because of what we've accomplished in our lives, not because we've been a good person in society, but because a humble heart. has God's favor. He says, Mary, you're favored. She already was favored because she already had that intimate relationship with God. And that word favor is to make charming, lovely, agreeable, pursue with grace, surround with favor, to honor with blessing. Now, if I were to look at my dear, beautiful wife this morning, she looks like a princess. How could I possibly bestow on her more favor? But that's exactly the condition of Mary's soul at that moment. She was so humble. She had favor and a connection with God that God came to honor her and to bless her and to even make her more charming and more beautiful. If that were possible, I don't know if that's possible with me, but you know. Huh? Just move on, she says. Okay, we'll move on this morning. Can you imagine being in that place where God comes and makes you more charming than you really... If you are an ogre and if you look in the mirror and you have things coming out, know that when you humble yourself, God can make you charming. And I'm not talking about the physical appearance. I'm talking about the spiritual condition of our hearts and our souls. God can come and surround you, it says, with His favor, with His blessing. But not when we're trying to make things happen on our own. Not when we're trying to force it. Force it. God, this is what we want, so this is what we're going to make happen in our lives. Let's say, God, here I am, poor and needy and desperate for You. I have nothing to offer You but a humble heart. And that's when God comes, pours out His favor, He makes us charming spiritually. And even when you become charming on the inside, it doesn't matter what your condition is on the outside, it transfers to the physical as well. I've seen people that the world might deem as, oh, they're not model material. They have a few extra pounds or some more junk in the trunk than they should have or whatever. But when they have Jesus, when they have the Holy Spirit, you don't notice that because God's light shines out in such a powerful, big way. A person with a humble heart has God's favor. And then also, not only that, but a person with a humble heart has God's special manifest presence. When it says the Lord was with her, it's not talking about theologically God is everywhere all at once. He's saying that God is physically, spiritually manifesting in a very special, unique way in their life. And when we talk about the presence of the Lord, we say, oh, I just feel the presence of the Lord. Well, God was always present here, but what we mean by that is God has showed up and manifested Himself in a very special way, and that's what He's done to Mary. You say, me? I'm just a teenager. Me? I come from a small town. Can God... Is it possible? I grew up in a town called Athens, not Greece. Athens, Michigan. And it was kind of a phrase that can anything good come out of that school there, because it was a poor school and the education wasn't great. And by God's blessing and provision, I was in a private school all the way up to my junior year, but was glad to transfer and experience in the real world and what that was like in school, in a public school. But there's a post office, there used to be a supermarket, but that closed. And you drive through it and you blink your eyes and you're done. And then, you know, people from the bigger town north of us, Battle Creek, where the Kellogg's factory was and everything, is, you know, oh, you go to Athens. Uh-huh. As if you were less significant. Can it be, wherever you came from in your life and your family, God wants to show up in a special presence in your life? He wants you, like we sang that Joy to the World, joy, unspeakable joy, to kind of walk and sing with a skip because of a special presence of God. See, there's a difference between Christians that have the Holy Spirit and Christians that have the Holy Spirit flowing out of them. And believe me, this is a unique position to be able to preach, and then I'm listening to myself as I preach and I come under conviction. You probably don't realize that, but you know, Mary surrendered. Number two, a person who surrenders to God listens to Him. And I want to ask, are you meditating on the Word of God? After He comes and Mary, you know, here's what most of us would do today. An angel comes, we would be, whoa, that's awesome. Let me get a picture of this and let's put it on Facebook and Twitter and all this. Look what showed up in my room today, in my house. She wasn't worried about that. Oh, a poor 14-year-old girl was visited by an angel. I got to tell the whole town of Nazareth this. She wasn't concerned with any of that. You know what she was concerned about was what was being said to her. He said, because remember, in the first verse he says, he came to her, greetings, you are favored, and the Lord is with you. Something big is about to happen in your life. And it says that she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting what this might be. Instead, she started to process and listen to the Word of God. And I want to ask you today, are you meditating on the Word of God? I don't care how young or how old you are, but it's not just something that the preacher reads or that you read at home. Are you thinking about what it means to you? Because a person, and like Mary had a reflective heart, ponders what God's message means. Are you pondering what the message of God means when you do your devotions? Are you pondering what the message means while we sing these songs that have these rich theological words on the screen? Are you processing it mentally to the point? Are you shaken when you read something to say, wait a minute, my life doesn't line up with that? I've got to do something about this. This is Mary's condition. A reflective heart ponders what God's message means, and it ponders our life in light of the Word of God, and it ponders what God's Word requires of them. What does God's Word require of you specifically? Have you ever thought about it that way? What you read in God's Word today, what does it mean for you? Is it just, oh, this made me feel so good and uplifted today? Or is it going to require some change? Is it going to require me to make a step of faith and obedience in my life? Mary was in a position where she thought about things. She wasn't the kind of girl that ended up getting her foot stuck in her mouth a lot of times. She was a thinker. She didn't just rashly make decisions, just go do this and respond and react to what was around her. And I want to encourage you today, if you are a reactor, and this week I had some things that I had to react to and that were making me perturbed and upset, and you know, when you do some project on your property, it seems like every neighbor around has something to say about it, even though it's mostly on your property, and then there's always, you know, everybody just comes against you, and we're trying to witness to these people, and my anger meter just, you know, it kind of went beyond the thermometer and on the inside, and I was like, I do so much to try to make things better for everybody, and all these excuses and things go on. That's a reactor. But a person that ponders sits and says, God, what are you trying to do in me here? Are you giving me another opportunity to heap coals of fire on their head because one neighbor maybe says that I'm not a religious person, I don't believe in God, but if they see enough times of love over and over and over again, maybe their heart will be softened and they'll come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? I don't know that. But maybe if I would have been a ponderer as Mary. God, what are you trying to say to me? God, what are you doing here in my life? Here's the recipe for developing a reflective heart. Anybody want a reflective heart? Instead of a reactive heart, a nuclear reactive heart? I want to have a reflective heart. two things. Allow yourself to be disturbed. Now, you might say, wait, Pastor told us that I need to be disturbed. Not a disturbed mind, but an agitation. That word disturbed means disturbed wholly, greatly agitated. Allow yourself to be open enough and soft enough so that when you come to the Word of God, you are literally disturbed and convicted by what it says and what change needs to happen in our lives. Are you allowing yourself to be troubled by God's Word? Well, I like to read the Psalms because it just makes me feel good, but are you troubled with how your life maybe doesn't always line up with the Psalms? Are you worked up, you know, like the chickens get when we introduce a new hen into the fold and they puff up all and they just start going rah, 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 because the whole order is out of line? I mean, do you get like a hen when that's getting disturbed of the pecking order when the Word of God is open and when God speaks something to your heart? You should. Mary did. Second part of the recipe is to take time to discern God's Word. That word discern means to bring together different reasons. So Mary had to stop and think about all these things and say, why am I favored? Why is God's presence in my life? What's going on here? She began to come up with all these reasons and think about it and deliberate about it in her mind. If you don't take time to deliberate God's Word, you know, when I grew up, we had these little quiet time things that we had to do, and boy, I was really good at writing those things. You know, I'd get them, I'd forget to do them, my devotions, and so at the end of the week, I'd be doing day one, day two, day three, and I'd write eloquent words and things like that just to get it done. And then I'd get points in youth group for doing it. And I was looked at as a good kid. But the only way to change is to think about it, process it. See, the idea of our Bible times is not to just get through it for the day to say, I did my devotions today. If you don't get through it, fine. The point is that you're meeting with a Savior and He's speaking things to our hearts and He wants us to think about those things and ponder them. So the two recipes. If you want to become a reflective person instead of a reactive person, be troubled. Allow yourself to be worked up and agitated by the Word of God and what God's called you to do. That's okay. And you know what a lot of people do? I see a lot of Christians do. They get worked up because they see something. I've never heard this before. I've never done this in my life before. And they have a choice now to either allow that anxiety or that disturbance to produce obedience or to produce, forget, I'm not going to do this. I'm walking away from it. I'm afraid. This can't be of God. Why am I disturbed? This can't be from God. But doesn't it say the Lord is peace? Yeah, but it's His kind of peace that produces good results and obedience in our life. Agitation is okay. She was troubled because notice what happens when we're troubled to the point that we're listening and say, what's going on? The angel says, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. He says it again to her. So a recipe is allow yourself to be disturbed. Take time to discern the Word of God. Now, a person who surrenders to God recognizes His power because we can see in verse 31, she is questioning. And He said, He gives her the message. He says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you'll call His name Jesus. Now can you picture this 14-year-old girl who was sitting in synagogue and some of the weeks the priests would read some of those passages in Isaiah about the Savior, about the light coming in the darkness, and about the Messiah. And then here she is, little old Mary. Maybe she had red hair, too. I don't know. And probably not in the Middle East. Little Mary. Don't be afraid, yeah. It's a good thing you have a husband to comfort you. I just want to sit down for a while. But what about those moments when God comes to you and shows up in your life? Will you ignore it, turn a cold shoulder to it, and say, I'm happy with the status quo? Or will you realize the significance of it? You're about to conceive the Messiah, the deliverer of the world, the only one that can take away sins. You say, well, that was just for Mary. Mary's the only one. Have you ever heard the term born again? Born of the Spirit? We sing these songs about letting the Christ be born in our hearts. Every time Jesus comes to us with a mission, it all has to do with the Messiah, the Gospel. Will you let Him come in? Will you let Him come and rule and reign in your life? See, a person who surrenders to God recognizes His power. Are you able to see and experience God's salvation? A person who desires to experience God's power asks. Notice what Mary does. And I want to ask you today, are you asking? I'm going to ask you, are you asking? Do you see the potential of the power of God flowing through you because you are a recipient of the gospel of Jesus Christ? He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to Him the throne of His Father. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will be no end. We're talking about big kingdom things that God did ultimately through the Virgin Mary and sending Jesus, but also through us today by the sending of His Holy Spirit. Are you asking? See, a person who desires to experience God's power wants to know how they can experience God's power. In our case, how can I live out the life of Jesus within me? How can Jesus be born in me? How can Jesus exude in my life? How can I be holy, as it says that He is the Holy One? How can I be the one that lives out a life that reflects the Savior to the world? Are you asking? Are you able to see and experience the power of God? You know, when we look across America and we see the prayerlessness in churches all across America, we see a lack of desire of coming before God, and we'd rather settle for a pastor with gimmicks and programs and things like that that might draw people in, and it looks like we're reaching people with the gospel. But I'm talking about getting a hold of God's throne room of grace. The reason why, I think one of the main reasons why we're not seeing that is that people don't have a desire to experience the power of God. Don't have a desire to have Christ be born in us. We're so good, and including myself, I am so good at speaking the Christian lingo, but I have really no desire to have Christ be born in my heart, and that shows in our lives. Mary was humbled to the point where she said, "Yes, God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God. Let it be to me according to Your Word." Let it be to me according to Your Word. A person who surrenders to God recognizes His power, and they're able to see and experience the salvation and the power of God. See, Jesus was born supernaturally by Mary, who is a virgin, to be our salvation. He is the Son of the Most High God, El Elyon. He is the Messiah who's going to rule forever. And I want to encourage you, if you get time, to read up on that in 2 Samuel chapter 7, which talks about the Davidic covenant that He's prophesying here, and we don't have time for everything. But last of all, a person who surrenders to God completely yields to His way. Are you willing to completely submit to God's Word? Are you willing to completely submit to God's Word? Do you want to come to that place that you're willing to submit to God's Word? I know I do. See, a person who surrenders to God completely yields to His way. Are you able to surrender? And see, this person who experiences God's power is willing to accept the supernatural dimension that God operates in. She says, how can this be? She asks the question. And in verse 37, it gives the example of Elizabeth in her old age bearing a child. And he says, for nothing is going to be impossible with God. We like to sing that phrase and say that phrase, with God, nothing is impossible. And we say that as a feel-good thing when things aren't going so good in our lives. But do you really believe that nothing will be impossible with God? A person who experiences God's power is willing to accept the supernatural dimension. We have to have open spirits to God who lives outside of time, who is outside the physical realm, who operates in a supernatural, spiritual way. How could this be that I'm a virgin and I can conceive a child? How can this be, God, that I've been struggling with this issue in my life for so many years? How could this be healed in my life? God, how can it be that I'm so afraid to allow my spirit to pour out before God because I'm afraid of what the Holy Spirit might do. I'm afraid that I might do something crazy. I'm afraid that maybe I might shout hallelujah. I'm afraid that maybe I'm going to go witness to my neighbor. I'm afraid that I'm going to say, Mary was in a place of complete surrender. Let it be to me as according to your word. And that was the Acts church, and that is the church that moves in power when we come to the place of absolute surrender to the Holy Spirit. And we're not afraid of the supernatural, we believe in the supernatural because God doesn't operate like we do. His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts are above our thoughts. We quote those verses over and over and over again, but do you believe it? See, the virgin birth of Jesus, He said, the power of God's going to overshadow you. And let me explain this. This is good. Listen carefully to this. That word overshadow in the Greek, it means from a vaporous cloud that cast a shadow, the word is transferred to a shining cloud surrounding and enveloping persons with brightness. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and this was what the special presence looked like in the Old Testament when the Shekinah glory shone over the temple. It's what the glory of God looked like when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and His body glowed and the disciples were there and remembered and said, let's build a temple for you, and Elijah and the prophet showed up. We're talking about supernatural glory and power enveloping the Virgin Mary so that she could conceive Jesus. But you know what? The Word of God teaches that we're being transformed from darkness to light. That we only look through a glass dimly now, but then we will see face to face. You and I are like, we have this treasure in earthen vessels ready to be poured out. Do you see, folks, the power of this? The Shekinah glory of God can rest upon your heart and soul if you would surrender to the Holy Spirit. So that when people say, look at our lives, they'll say, the Lord is with him. People look at our lives, they'll see this supernatural glow and power exuding out of our lives. Who cares about the consumerism of Christmas? Well, what we care about is the Messiah Jesus has come, and I've surrendered to Him, and I've surrendered to His great commission to go and preach the gospel and share the good news with everybody that I come in contact with. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and birth within us this power where we're willing to accept to do things your way and not ours. A person who experiences God's power responds to the life-giving work of the Spirit, whether it's being born of the Spirit. And if you're not saved today, I want to encourage you to respond to the working of the Spirit in salvation, or whether it be the empowerment to live a new life in Jesus Christ by the work of the Spirit. You see, a person who experiences God's power believes there is nothing that's impossible with God. And that doesn't mean that I have an agenda of what I want God to do, and I say, there's nothing impossible with God. We're talking about God's specific plan for Mary's life. He has a specific plan for your life. He has a specific plan that He wants to be carried out inside of you. Nothing is going to be impossible with God. Dad, what do you want? What do you want with me? What does this mean? I want to encourage you. We just finished this series, Questions for Jesus. We still have our questions on the screen, but this week you're going to be some question people. I want to encourage you to be some questioning people. What does this mean? What do you want me to do? What does this mean? Person who experiences God's power simply takes Him at His word, no matter what the cost might be. Oh, there would be a cost for Mary. The pure virgin. Look, she's pregnant. She's not married. In fact, in the Old Testament, they were commanded to stone such a person. God, get these words in our hearts. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Do you suppose maybe for you and for me it might be time for us to let go of our foolish fears and misgivings about the power of God being manifest in our lives? Don't you think it's time to let go of our fears and be who we are really meant to be? Maybe we're sitting on our hands spiritually. We're sitting on our hands in worship. We're singing songs like, waiting here for you with my hands lifted up, and we're sitting on them. I'm not talking about just the physical part of lifting our hands. I'm talking about the spiritual bent and openness of the soul. May it be to me as according to your word. You know what? I really believe, folks, that religious traditions have killed this idea of surrender to God, have killed our passion when we get on fire for God to serve Him, and it only lasts a month or a week. Or we start something spiritual and we get excited about it, and then we kind of eventually it's like, we peter out. Because we're choked out by religion. We're choked out by traditions. I want to encourage you today. Today maybe is the day to crucify those traditions. I don't care what people think. I'm going to share Jesus with the cashier at the checkout. I'm not going to stand here and say, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. You do. You have the glory of the Savior inside of your heart, inside of your soul. And He wants to explode. I mean, you know, if we could see this in the spiritual realm, you know, like, we would be people that are like bubbling. You know, the Holy Spirit says, I want out of here. I want to flow in your life. Bloop, bloop, bloop. No. We got to be religious. We got to be as the way it always was. It's like we're Christians with indigestion. Let's help one another surrender to the Holy Spirit. Say, have your way, God. Have your way, God. He'd ask you to say that, but have your way, God. Could we read that last verse together? Stand as the worship team comes. Verse 38, and Mary said this part, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Now let's read that again, that part. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Have your way, Lord. 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 You know, I remember praying in Chicago, going into a prayer. It was a church during the day. It was a black church in the ghetto in the middle of nowhere. And there was these ladies during the day coming to church. And they were just saying, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And they were on their knees at the altar. "Have your way, God. Have your way, God." They were desperate for the presence of God. Whatever it takes for you to say, "Yes, Lord," you do that. Let the emotions out. Let the Spirit out. Whatever it is, if you need to come to the altar today, come to the altar. If you need to lay down in the pew, lay down in the pew. If you need to run out back because you're afraid this morning, go run out back. The Holy Spirit's out there too. He's going to get you out there too. Whatever it is God's saying, will you say, "Let it be according to your word"? Father, we just come before you and we bless your name. God, we desire for you to have first place in our life. Forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, Lord. Come and fill us. Come take control. We want to have the reflective heart of Mary. We want to have the obedient soul that she has.